Good morning. We're a little sparser this morning than we were last Sunday, as the Sunday after Easter is often known as Low Sunday, after the high attendance of Easter Sunday. But it's good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this glorious April morning. And we've come to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, something we do every Sunday. It's not just an Easter morning event. But I'm glad that you were able to be here to gather with us. We extend an invitation to those, all of you, to stay for a few moments after the service for fellowship and refreshments in Judson Chapel, the room directly behind the sanctuary. We extend a special welcome to those who are visiting with us today. Want to point out on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week. And I'm not going to read it to you, but I just do want to call your attention to the items. I do want to point out that Tuesday we do have our service, our worship service at Glen Ridge in the afternoon. This Friday is Feeding Ministry as well. Also, I have an announcement from American Baptist Women's Ministries. That means that's us. We'll hold its annual April shower this coming Saturday, April 18th at 1 p.m., here in the church in the parlor. Come and share dessert and bring unwanted jewelry for a silent auction. Any funds raised will be donated to endorsed American Baptist missionary Kathy Charland, supporting her call to ministry in Zambia. You'll also have a chance to roll some bandages for the Democratic Republic of the Congo hospital missions. You know, please come. And that's women of all ages, younger and older, and all those in between. Also, anyone interested in seeing Marilyn Glover's Myanmar presentation this Wednesday, April 15th at 6 p.m. at the Medford First Baptist Church, may speak to Marilyn about attending that event as well. So two events coming up this week, in addition to those things that are listed in the bulletin. Also, in your bulletin today, there was an insert. It may be this color. It might be white. It is the photo release form, and we are encouraging and asking you to fill it out and sign up. I know many of you, several of you did this last year. Well, they got misplaced. So this time they've been entrusted to someone else, and hopefully they will not be lost this time. But this will enable us to move forward with any pictures that we are able to use, that we can use pictures or not use pictures, of anyone who refuses that. Also, we are planning, the diaconate is planning to update our church family tree and perhaps even have a booklet, and this is the first step toward that. So we're looking forward to doing that hopefully later this spring. So if you would be willing to fill this out, if you want to take it home and think about it, that's fine. Please bring it back and give it, either place it in the offering plate or hand it to Dave Latta after the service today. This time I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 265. For a responsive call to worship. Let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship this day. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. As in Adam, all die, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits. Then, when he comes, those who belong to him. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Listen, I tell you a mystery. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, we have come to celebrate the risen Christ's existence and walking in our lives. Our opening hymn is Worship Christ, the Risen King, number 259. We're singing verses 1, 2, and 5 only. And those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
honor and praise you, O God, we come in gratitude and love. With great joy and amazement, we continue to remember the victory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as we worship, we raise our voices in praise and thanksgiving for your incomparable gift of love revealed in Christ's resurrection. Our hearts are so filled with joy that we have difficulty containing the news. Help us to share the message of the empty tomb with others. We ask this all in the name of Christ. We now pray as he taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Since I don't see any children this morning, we will move on in the order of service to our moments of prayer. And we'll be sharing some concerns and celebrations and inviting you to share any that you may have as well. This morning we want to continue to remember Lucille Berry, and Lana's not here. I know Lana has a pretty bad cold today, so I want to keep Lana in prayer as well as Lucille. Peggy had a catheterization of her heart on Friday and is doing quite well at home. Did not have to stay overnight, is doing quite well, but we want to keep Peggy Blum in prayer as well. Helen Fleet continues at the Westford House for rehabilitation, so we want to keep Helen Fleet in prayer. Sharon Jacobson has been having some medical tests, and there's been no final diagnosis yet, but we do want to keep Sharon in prayer today as well, as she's been going under some tests, some painful tests as well, and just trying to get a diagnosis. So I want to keep Sharon in prayer today. Paul Patry is back with us. We've been praying for Paul in absentia for several weeks, but Paul's back with a new hip, and you know we celebrate that. Well, it's good to have you back. And also, you know, some of our folks that have been away for the winter, I didn't mention last week, but the Williamses are back, and the Huddies are back, and the Foxons are now back this week. So, you know, we celebrate those that have been away, and we welcome them back and say, you missed something great this winter. You know, it's like, but, you know, we're glad that you're able to be back with us. Also, we want to continue to remember Joan Ristine, who is at home recuperating, but we want to keep those folks. Other folks that, you know, we have on our shut-in lists, our homebound, those who are not able to get out as often, especially this past winter, we want to keep them in prayer as well. Do you have any requests for prayer today, either celebrations or concerns? Richard. Okay, so Gail Freeman's best friend, or closest friend, Heather, known for years and years, has been diagnosed with a form of leukemia and is in Hershey, Pennsylvania, in the hospital waiting a treatment plan. So I want to keep Heather in prayer today. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, you are a God of new beginnings. And that is what we witness and understand so much, especially this time of year. We see nature reawakening after a difficult winter here in New England. We also are post-Easter, and we're in the afterglow of Resurrection Sunday, and we continue to celebrate the empty tomb. and the newness, the opportunity of new life that that gives to each one who followed Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of coming here to worship today, for being able to spend these moments in prayer together. Lord, we just lift up all of those silent prayers that we have offered. We lift up to you those who are ill today and pray for healing in their lives according to your will. We thank you that there are men and women who have the intelligence and the training and the skill to care for us when our bodies are injured or ill, when our spirits are broken. Lord, we thank you that you have given those gifts to certain men and women. They've accepted those and have been trained and share those gifts with those when they need them. Lord, we also pray for our communities. And Lord, we are cognizant of news reports that we hear of those who have been injured in by gunfire and violence on the city streets. And Lord, we pray for peace in our homes, in our local communities, but also around our world. And we thank you for those that work in peacekeeping roles in our lives, whether they are in the military or whether they're first responders in some other way, that they try to protect us and keep us safe. We thank you for them. Lord, we're also mindful of those who are in a time of transition, a time of change. We pray, O God, because you are a God of constancy, that you are always there, ready to respond to needs and receive our praises. Lord, we pray for those who are undergoing changes in their lives, whether it's a time of completing schoolwork for another year, whether it's a graduation or looking for a job, perhaps planning to move and change their residence. Lord, we just pray for those that are experiencing change in their lives, that they may turn to you as an anchor, as a place to place their security as they sense that their lives may be in turmoil for a while. Lord, we thank you that we're able to come today to worship you. We pray for those that are not able to be here today for whatever reason. Lord, we pray that for those that are worshiping and celebrating the post-Easter celebration around this world, that we join with Christians around the world celebrating the empty tomb. And Lord, we offer all of these things to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. We worship in many different ways, and one of the ways is by offering our tithes and our gifts. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering. Let us pray. Lord, we present these tithes and gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we use these gifts to help us be wise stewards of these gifts and all your gifts to us. Lord, we pray that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ, that more may come to walk closer with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dave Latta is our worship leader today and will be reading the scripture.
Good morning. Today's scripture is from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. After the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices to go and anoint the body of Jesus. Very early on Sunday morning at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they said to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" It was a very large stone. Then they looked up and saw that the stone had already been rolled back. So they entered the tomb, where they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised. Look, here is the place where he was placed. Now go and give this message to his disciples, including Peter. He is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and ran from the tomb, distressed and terrified. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. These are the words of the Lord.
Thank you, Dave. Let's pray together. Lord, we gather this morning, a week after Resurrection Sunday, and yet we have read and heard Mark's account of that glorious morning. A story that can be told any time and every time, and it never gets old. Lord, we thank you that Christ went to the cross for us and rose again and ascended to heaven and is preparing a place for us. And Lord, we come and worship you and seek answers to questions of our faith and searching out what it means to be a follower of Christ, trying to discern what it is that life has for us, what the purpose of life is, and what eternal life means for us. Lord, all of that begins with the empty tomb. Lord, this day we pray that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a message from you that will help us in our daily living, our faith journey. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday's message, if you were here, included several images of contemporary communication. So today, we're going back in time, and we're going to focus on a historical event. On Good Friday, April 14, 1865, President Abraham Lincoln was attending the performance of the raucous play Our American Cousin at Ford's Theater, Washington, D.C., when actor and Southern conspirator John Wilkes Booth crept into the balcony and shot the president in the back of the head. It happened only 4 days After the long war for the preservation of the American nation had ended, a great victory for the Union, followed by great mourning for an unimaginable loss. This coming Wednesday, April 15th, more commonly known as Tax Day, but this year marks also the 150th anniversary of Lincoln's death. Yes, he was shot on the 14th, but died the next morning. And like the days following the assassination in 1865, Americans will once again turn our attention to remembering the one who was perhaps one of our greatest leaders and one of the most beloved. Although Lincoln was far from being universally loved and appreciated during his presidency, soon after his death, people rushed to compare him to the first president, George Washington, or to Moses leading his people out of slavery to the Promised Land, and even to Jesus as the Savior of his people. As James Garfield, an Ohio congressman who would later become the second assassinated president in American history, put it at the time, quote, "It may almost be impious to say it, but it does seem that Lincoln's death parallels that of the Son of God," unquote. We need to remember that this happened on Good Friday, Easter weekend. Where was the joy of Easter celebration when the president was assassinated? I can only imagine how the nation's feelings were compounded by the timing of that event. The parallels between Jesus and Lincoln were natural, even in the 19th century Christian nation, where people were careful to withhold the mantle of divinity from any public figure. Reverend C.B. Crane, a Baptist minister here in Boston, said at Lincoln's death, quote, "Jesus Christ died for the world. Abraham Lincoln died for his country," unquote. That seemed to be the widespread sentiment. And even though Lincoln was not himself a practicing evangelical Christian, his focus on justice for all, forgiveness and mercy for his enemies, and the liberation of the oppressed were seen as very Christ-like qualities. Historians have drawn other parallels between Lincoln and the Lord, but I'm not going to go into timing those and mentioning those this morning. Lincoln died on Holy Saturday morning at 7:22 a.m. in a home across the street from Ford's Theater. When he breathed his last, his Secretary of War, Edward Stanton, who had not always been an ally, but had often been an opponent of the president, he said these words, "Now he belongs to the ages." Lincoln's body would lie in state, first in the White House, and then in the United States Capitol Rotunda, before beginning the long journey to his burial in Springfield, Illinois. The Lincoln funeral train would stop some 400 times along the way in order to give mourning Americans a chance to say goodbye to their beloved president. Lincoln's body would go through a long, strange odyssey before being finally laid to rest. In 1876, a band of counterfeiters attempted to exhume Lincoln's corpse to hold it for ransom, for a return for $200,000 and to the release of a fellow counterfeiter from prison. The grave robbers got inside the tomb, but couldn't move the marble lid off the coffin, and they were caught by authorities shortly thereafter. Over the next couple of decades, Lincoln's coffin was moved a number of times to secret locations, and it was opened twice between 1876 and 1887 to confirm that the president's body was still inside. The body was last viewed in 1901 before being permanently laid to rest in the tomb that visitors now see in Springfield. Lincoln's body is now encased in 10 feet of cement and steal. And it will be a very long time before anyone sees his body again. Looking at the history, I want us to now, though, turn and think about what Mark tells us about Jesus' burial. Jesus had been publicly and brutally crucified on Friday afternoon. A wealthy, secret disciple of Jesus named Joseph of Arimathea asked Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, for the body of Jesus, an unusual development since the bodies of most crucified criminals were left to rot on the cross or were thrown into an anonymous ditch after death. Joseph took Jesus' body and laid it in a tomb hewn out of a rocky hillside, rolling a stone against it to seal it. It wasn't exactly 10 feet of cement and steel, but was considered to be as secure as possible for the first century tomb. Lincoln's body had already been elaborately embalmed, which was a fairly new process for American burials in the mid-19th century. In the first century, however, it was up to family and friends of the deceased to do the burial preparation, which involved a two-stage process. First, the body was washed, wrapped in linen cloth, laid out in the tomb and doused with spices that would help to drown out the smell and also hasten the process of decay. Then a year later, the family would return, gather up the bones of the deceased and put them in a stone box called an ossuary that could then be placed in a niche in the back of the tomb. On the Sunday morning after Jesus' crucifixion, some of the women who had followed him came to the tomb to do their work a funeral preparation. When they found the stone had been rolled away, the tomb was empty, which was usually a sign that grave robbers had come and stolen the body, a practice so common in the first century that the Roman Emperor Tiberius had issued an edict condemning it. Instead of the empty tomb, however, the women saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side of the tomb, and he gave this shocking news. Do not be afraid or do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. Jesus' body had been moved, but incredibly, he had been the one to move it. We can visit Lincoln's tomb today in Illinois, confident that his coffin is there. Visitors go to pay their respects to the man who saved his country. Other memorials to Lincoln abound, from his face carved on Mount Rushmore to the site of his most famous speech in Gettysburg to the massive Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., which was modeled after the Temple of Zeus in Greece. The inscription behind Lincoln, seated on a godlike throne, says, "In this temple, as the hearts of the people for whom he saved the Union, the memory of Abraham Lincoln is enshrined forever." And we can visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, the traditional site of Jesus' crucifixion and tomb. But there's no body there. His body has not been moved because he's alive. That's the message of Easter, and not just Easter morning, not just the Easter season. That's the message of our Christian faith, that Jesus is alive, a message too good and too important to be celebrated only one day each year. Lincoln may have saved his country and his people from slavery, but the risen Jesus has actually saved the world. The slavery Jesus abolished was the slavery that holds humans in bondage to sin and death. Jesus' emancipation from the tomb means that we, too, will be emancipated and set free from death and the sin that both causes death and results from our fear of it. The throne upon which Jesus sits is a heavenly one, from where he shall come to reign over both heaven and earth together, establishing his righteous kingdom forever. Jesus has no temple, For he is the temple, as described in the book of Revelation. He belongs to the ages because he is the one who will be with us to the end of the age. Historians speculate on how the country might have been different had Lincoln lived out the rest of his life. We tend to lionize those who die too soon, and perhaps his later years in office would have revealed something more deeply troubling about the man than his bouts of depression or his undefined religious faith. All of our heroes turn out to be human. And at some point, we stop comparing them to divinity and start comparing them to ourselves. The resurrection tells us, however, that true divinity is only found in the one who can save us to the uttermost, the one who is very still much alive and will make us alive as well. We should celebrate great men like Abraham Lincoln, but we do better to worship the one who is the risen Christ. The message is still true today, 1 week after Resurrection Sunday. Christ the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's pray together. Lord, we live so distant from Resurrection Sunday, that first Resurrection Sunday, that first Easter morning, that for some of us, Lord, we may have lost some of the excitement and the fear that was felt that day. Lord, help us to gain that kind of excitement in our lives, that the resurrection becomes true for us, not just something that happened generations ago in history, but something that has meaning even today. Because Christ lives, we can live also. That powerful news, Lord, we need to remember and live out each day. Help us to share that news with others, especially those who live in fear and darkness, that they too may experience the power of the empty tomb, that they too may meet Jesus Christ and walk with him and be saved by him. Lord, we offer all of these prayers to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 262, He Lives. The tomb is empty. Our lives can be full. So go into every place and every day as people brimming with the love of God. Be graceful in spirit, hopeful in word, faithful in deed. Live for the risen Christ as Christ lives in you. Alleluia. Amen.